Hello, this is Abe with Abe's Front Porch Talk. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 2. Last week, I told you guys that I had 97 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Well, 1 week later, once again, I'm here to tell you I have 112 subscribers as of today. I'm hoping that number will keep rising. Thank you to all of you folks who have subscribed to my YouTube channel. Let's see if we can keep sharing and forwarding to each other and keep subscribing to help me reach 1,000. I did a story on my Instagram page and it posted it to my Facebook as well. If I reach 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, I can start going live on my videos. And I would love for every one of you who is subscribed to my channel to join me live on anything I do, whether it's sit around and you just hear me talk about what's going on in the world, or what I'm doing now with this podcast. And that way we can actually can communicate, because when we do live, you can actually send me messages, chat publicly with me, and I can read what you're saying and answer your questions or whatever you make a statement about, whatever the subject is. And I think this will be really cool, because a lot of you don't realize I'm the only one that does this podcast. I don't have anyone joining me right now to help me with any conversations of serious topics. And the point of it is, if I had other people to join and put their opinions in, especially live, and you're sending me these messages or asking questions, that would make things go a lot easier, because I'm like, okay, hey, if you had a question about UFOs and aliens, or maybe you discover something on TV or online, and I could read what you said and been like, yes, that's a good point right there. You know, or anything of that nature. We all could work together. And it'll make it a lot easier on me trying to come up with ideas and thoughts to say at the same time. Yes, I do write a lot of my stuff down, but then trying to read my own handwriting is another story in itself too. But trying to face the cameras and things like that as well. And I get lost, and sometimes I'll repeat what I said. But that would be one good thing about going live. Another thing is when I go exploring, and if I want to do a video live exploring abandoned places or just exploring parks and cemeteries, you can still join me live with me doing that as well. So let's just keep subscribing more. And like I said too last week, there are those who are disabled that can't get out and enjoy the world. So if I can bring them enjoyment to their homes and they can join me live, how much thrill could that get with them? Let them know, hey, just not only could they communicate with me, but they can actually get in conversations with you guys as well. So I think it would be a really neat idea. And this is why I'm working so hard. On November 4th, 2020, will be 1 year I have been doing YouTube videos. This is my season 2. Of this podcast. I started this time last year, 2019, of my podcast, and I'm on season 2. And I have worked so hard to get this built up. But let's just keep subscribing and sharing and try to help me. And those of you know who know me knows that this would also help me financially as well. I also have a store called Spreadshirt.com, and you have to have my link to get into the store. If you go into the Spreadshirt.com link itself and you type my name into the search bar, you're not going to find my items. But if you will look for the link in the descriptions that I would give, then you can find, then you will be able to go directly into the store. And I'm working on more items, more pictures, more designs. It's just taking me a while to get stuff done because the app on the phone actually limits everything I do. Also, don't forget about the book I wrote that is on Barnes & Noble's website at Nook and eBook called Living with Fibromyalgia and How It Affected My Life. It's a short, sweet book, only 4 chapters. Some of the chapters might be 5 or 6 pages long. Some might be shorter than that. And the very last chapter is, it's very short. It's really just a page, or not really a page. Let me take that back. It's just a couple of paragraphs. And it just got the point across a little bit. And I plan on trying to do a lot more in the future. I'm just trying to get started and find my way of starting here. So if you buy my book on Nook and eBook, and if you will also look at the designs or the shirts and hoodies and stuff in my store that I have, and you purchase this, with each purchase from my merch store at spreadshirt.com, you will be able, when you purchase this, that money I will use for this podcast and YouTube videos. And if I decide I want to travel out of town, this will help me with food. It will help me with the motel stay, insurance on my vehicle, and fuel for the vehicle. So please check out my store and purchase. Also, if you like to support Abe's Front Porch Talk, look for the link in the podcast app that says support and just follow the instructions. And this would also help me with fuel and food and motel stays as well. And other technologies that I need to get to help me to make this podcast and my YouTube channel even better. So thank you so much for this opportunity here. I'm going to take a short break. I just wanted to get all of this out of the way first. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube and this podcast. Now, some podcast apps don't say subscribe. It says follow. So look for the follow button and click on it. And I'm going to be back here in just a few minutes, and we will get started about gemstones. All right, folks, I'm back. Thank you for that short break once again. Let's get started about crystals and gemstones. Last week, I asked you, do you think gemstones and crystals are evil, or do you think they're good? And you know, there's a mixture in this world about how gemstones and crystals are considered evil and witchcraft. And a lot of people think they have healing powers and they can help you in so many ways and uplift you and keep good vibes around you and good positive energy, which brings healing into your home and into your life. So, and a lot of people does trust into this. But then there's a lot that don't, that says this is evil. So, from the research I have found, I want you guys to know what I will be reading to you. I did not write this stuff. It's just research I found that someone else wrote that I thought was pretty neat to share with you guys as well. And I want you to understand this. After I get through each week with about these gemstones and crystals, I hope when you're listening to this, it will give you something to think about each time. So, if you listened to last week's episode, I made a statement. Well, not really a statement. It's what was actually written in the Bible in Ezekiel. And remember, in the book of Ezekiel, there's a scripture that says, "Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God, with every precious stone." And I went through and named off these stones that were in the garden. Now, I will get to the definitions of those later on. If I don't get to them today, that's fine, and I'll see what I can do later. But do you know that gemstones and crystals have been around before Christ even walked the earth, before he came? And a lot of the prophets of God used gemstones and crystals. And you will learn more about that throughout this lesson too. But maybe not today, but just come each week. So, the one I'm going to read to you first here, it says, "Since ancient times, crystals have been used in many religious traditions. Crystals were unique energetic properties." See, even in ancient times, they were used in many religious traditions. And if we go back to where they were in the Garden of Eden, you know, you will think about the power that people talks about the healing of these things today, what could have been happening with them and people healed, that God put some type of power into them to heal them, for they're made of minerals. A lot are made from the natural ground we walk on every day. They're not really man-made. They're made from the minerals of this earth. And ancient religious traditions used these. And as it has been, sorry, I just got a text, folks. Took my mind off something there for a minute. But since the religious traditions did this way back when, why are we calling it witchcraft today? What type of religion or religious groups in ancient times did these things? Now, that I did not go into as of yet, but who's to say I may? But who's to say a lot of religious folks in the world today were the same back then? And God taught them to use these gemstones and crystals because Moses and Aaron used them. Don't you remember the armor had the 12 gemstones, which represented the 12 tribes? And I'll get into that one later too, because that's coming soon. But it tells you right here, religious practices did it, or religious traditions. So we didn't have all the religion like we do today, probably back then, but it just makes you wonder, hey, is it like Baptist, Pentecostals, Church of Christ, you know, all these religions we have, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, you just go down the list. Did any of them way back then? We all know Catholics were around back then too, but they were just under a different name. So, did the Catholic Church use them? And do they still today use gemstones and crystals? And maybe we're not taught that they do. Who knows? Do you know the first gemstone found was 4.4 billion year old? And it was found in Australia. And it was the Zichorn crystal. The very first one found. 4.4 4 billion year old. Now, if they go back that far to know how old it is, this basically goes back to almost the beginning of time. So think about the prophets and things, even when Jesus walked the earth, how this had been going on. And even in Revelations, it speaks about crystals and gemstones in the kingdom of heaven as well. So God put stuff here on earth for us to use to help us. But now I do believe you can do it in a good way or a bad way. But I was just surprised. In Australia, they found one that was 4.4 billion years old. Now, Roman culture, first class citizens used amulets and protected talismans made out of crystals. They were used to attract good health, fortune, and to fight battles. So, which means when they went to war, for any battles they were to fight against someone, they used these amulets and protective talismans made of crystals. And they believe it brought them good health. They believe it brought them fortune. So why they thought these things, I don't know. I don't know how they were taught this, but someone had to teach them this, and this was Roman culture. Go back to in Ezekiel when all this was in the garden. The Chinese culture, Chinese uses healing crystals such as crystal tip needles used in acupuncture. They still do that today. I do believe the Chinese culture still do that today. And you know, you look at the lifespan of these people, how long they live, how long do they get to stay? I'm reading something here in my notes and I'm repeating what I'm looking at, trying to figure out what I'm wanting to say here. And I'm also jumping ahead of myself too as well. Okay. Now, Moses, his staff was made out of gemstones and an almond tree. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right now. Gemstones and almond tree. And do you remember when Aaron took that staff and went before the Pharaohs, it turned into a serpent? Who's to say those gemstones, God did not put power inside those gemstones to make that staff turn into the serpent to devour Pharaoh's serpents and his people? Who's to say that those gemstones didn't help Moses and them depart the waters? And we're calling this witchcraft today and evil, and the powers are given to us from God to use in good, to do things. Maybe we could still depart waters today if we had the right tools. Maybe God gave gemstones and crystals to us for tools to use to help us through life. Maybe we're looking at things wrong. I'm not saying we are either. But I want you to think about Moses' staff and when Aaron used that. And look what all Moses did with that staff, made of almond tree and gemstone. Sorry, I know I repeated myself, but I just want to make sure, because I know I've got people out here that's listening that would try to take what I'm saying and run too much with it. But now, if you go back and look at the 4.4 billion year old crystal, the Zicorn crystal, found in Australia, How old are any of these gemstones and crystals that people have in their house? Oh, they do shine bright. I've seen crystals in places and stuff, and they are nice to look at. And some people don't even realize that the powers crystals have. And they just like it because they think they're beautiful, the colors, and they just know it's a crystal or a nice looking gemstone. So they just buy it and they bring it home with them and put it on their table or somewhere on a shelf where people that comes in can see it. Because they using it as a knickknack, an ornament in their home, just something that makes their house look good, to have something nice. And they're not even thinking nothing about, is it got any type of power that I could use or anything like this? They're just looking at it, beautiful colors, and they was attracted to that color, so they wanted it. It's amazing. So not everybody's going to look at these things as between good and evil. They're just going to look at this and be like, that's real nice. I want it. I like it. I'm buying it. And I'll put it here in the corner of this house so everybody can see it. And never give another thought. Now, I want to read you this one too. This goes back to Solomon. And it says, talismans are made natural from precious stones, metals, teeth, claws of animals, bones, and plants. Man-made amulets varied from religious medallions and small figurines. Talismans are thought to help with spiritual forces. Talismans dates back to 25,000 BC. And we all know BC is before Christ. So this was going on before Christ even came. And yes, and if you'll look and you'll see that there was all kinds of witchcraft and sorcery too back in the beginning of time. And you can read about all these demons and stuff from back then, and Baal and Beelzebub and all of these other things that was going on too. And how the prophets of old had to deal with this. So who's to say, like I said, Moses' staff was made of gemstone and almond. So who's to say that God didn't use the gemstones and crystals for the good for his people that served him to help with the bad that was trying to use it for the bad? And there's two different ways you can use these things for the good or the bad, like I said already. Now, there was something else here with Solomon that God had given Solomon a talisman. And I am trying to find that one here. And I had just saw it before I started this podcast. And now I've lost it. But, okay, here it is. What is the seal of Solomon used for? The Seal of Solomon was developed primarily by medieval Arabic writers. The talisman was given from God himself to Solomon. See, God himself gave Solomon a talisman. It was made from brass and iron. 1 Kings 11:3. We all know Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Solomon was the third king of Israel, ruled the 10th century BC, and even God gave him a talisman. And some people believe, and a lot of people says that the talisman that God had given Solomon had the power to command demons or to speak with animals. Now, if that's what this talisman was that God gave Solomon, so he could speak to the animals, and to command these demons to probably do whatever under authority of God or what he gave them command to do, then is it still evil? No, because God gave him that to do these things. But we call it witchcraft and evil today. And maybe this is why we're in the shape we are in. Not everything is witchcraft. It's best you use your own judgment with this. I'm not saying go out and buy these crystals and gemstones and that they're not evil or anything like that. No, I wouldn't. I'm just trying to prove some points here, how long they actually been around, and what I found during this research that I thought was pretty neat. And, you know, we have a lot of skeptics anyways out here, and a lot of people may look at the talisman being something different. But I say the talisman could be used between good and evil. Anything you do can be used as good and evil. Your computers that you use. You can get on these computers and you can do good with the computer or you can do bad with the computer. So everything that is here on earth can be between good and bad, depending on how the person, the individual, wants to use it with. So, what do you think the talisman was mainly used for that God gave Solomon? Let me put it to you this way. Okay, and now some people, sorry, I paused there for a little bit, folks. I was reading this note here I wrote down and was trying to read my handwriting. Okay, look at Solomon. God himself gave him a talisman that gave him power over people and demons. This talisman also gave Solomon the power to speak with animals. Gemstones and crystals have been used since the beginning of time. So not only did Moses have this in his staff, but Solomon had a talisman God handed him himself to do these things with. So there you have it, folks. You choose. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to get into the definitions of the gemstones, what they mean today. I believe what I will do is try to wait a little bit longer. And I will read some of the definitions, maybe in next week's podcast, but I'm actually going to end it here. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Check out my YouTube channel at Abe's Front Porch Talk. That's A-B-E apostrophe S Front Porch Talk. Subscribe there, share, pass around, and you guys have a good day. Thank you.